This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here today and listening. Douglas County Commissioner Tim Freeman here to talk about the state of the county. Thanks for coming in.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
And before we get started, an announcement. You'll be hearing more about this in the next couple of days, but Thursday's Inside Douglas County program, we'll be talking to the Secretary of the VA, Robert Wilkie, will be our guest on Thursday's Inside Douglas County. So I wanted to let you know about that today. So let's get back into talking about the state of the county. Of course, yesterday you gave a presentation at the Chamber Luncheon. You gave a presentation last Wednesday during the weekly meeting. And so now here's a chance to kind of do a radio version of the state of the county.
Well, thank you, and I have to apologize. My radio version won't be near as good as the chamber version because we had a slideshow that accompanied this at the chamber meeting. We've got staff there at the courthouse, Tamara, that did a fantastic job putting a slideshow together. But it's always a great chance at the beginning of the year to talk a little bit about what we did the previous year at the county and really what the future of the county looks like. So this year, I picked out a few of the highlights that each commissioner kind of worked on and was their projects, and sort of talked about the importance of the work that was accomplished in 2019, but also how that'll affect the county moving forward. One thing I always like to do, and I'm going to take just a second and do that here, is I like to remind people what our form of government is. So the county is managed by three county commissioners. So effectively, the three of us are the county administrator. We also have six elected officials that work directly with us to manage, and that would be the Sheriff John Hanlon, the District Attorney Rick Wiesenberg, the Surveyor Chris DeGroote, the Treasurer Dick Philly, the Clerk Dan Loomis, the Assessor Heather Coffel. And then there's a couple Justice Court elected officials, Judge Mayfield down in the South County Justice Court, and Judge Miller in the Reedsport North County Court. So that's the group of us that really administer and run the county. And we do that with department heads. And I'm not going to read off all of our department heads, but we have some really, really good, experienced, very thoughtful department heads that work every day to serve the public. And, you know, this is a large organization, and it takes a huge team to make that work.
And you've got an interesting mix, too, because in the last few years, you've had some folks retire. So you have a mix of many people who've been part of the area, and in many cases, part of county government for a very long time. But you've also got a number of newcomers in the past 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, certainly have. You know, one of the thing about a shrinking organization, which is that Douglas County over quite a period of time has shrunk in size, the number of employees there. When you have a shrinking organization, what tends to happen is your workforce tends to be a little bit older. So in other words, you're not hiring new people in, and when you eliminate positions, those are the people with the least seniority. So when we got there, Commissioner Boyce and I, certainly we found ourselves with a very senior workforce. Department heads have been there and lots of experience, but some of those certainly have retired out. But we've done very well to find people that are really good at their jobs, and having those department heads help us run the county is invaluable.
Now, with the three commissioners, one of the things that's interesting as well will be more interesting in a couple of years, that your terms, just because of the way things evolved, all mirror each other.
Yeah, so a few historical things that happened in 2019. So the very first action that happened at the courthouse at the beginning of 2019 is all three of the county commissioners were sworn in on the same four-year term. And that literally has never happened before. And it really hasn't happened around the state. So it's very unique. We thought that was going to be a bigger problem than what I think it's going to be. It actually, this team, the three of us, really enjoy working together. We all do a fantastic job staying in our own lane and working on the issues that we're working on. And we enjoy working with each other. So we get along good, and it's a great team. The other kind of interesting thing that was historical and unique this year. So if you remember all the way back to 2015 when Commissioner Boyce and I started, 9 months after we started, we had a once-in-a-lifetime event. It was a tragedy. It was the shooting out at UCC. Commissioner Kress didn't wait 9 months. Just a few months into his first term, we had the big snowstorm, and certainly he was just getting his feet sort of wet, as it were, and we had this huge event, and it was amazing how he responded and was part of the team right from the beginning.
Well, and, you know, things like that probably test just how well things are put together and give you ideas about maybe even changes. I mean, almost nobody, only one forecaster really saw this coming the day before it happened in February of last year with the historical amount of snow. And it really tested everybody, including you folks at the county.
Well, certainly whenever there's major events, like I say, the tragedy that happened and now the storm, there's lessons learned. But I will tell you, we were very fortunate. Commissioner Boyce had been for a long time the liaison commissioner of Public Works. But that first night, as you say, it was predicted as a wet event or a flood event. So all the commissioners were out working with the Public Works director. The sheriff was out Sunday night. We were all sort of getting ready to respond to what we thought was going to be a flood event. But it turned into this really difficult snow event. The county has spent to date over $4 million. We're continuing to spend money to clean up and fix things. It's been almost a year. We're hoping to get some of that money back from FEMA. Just the paperwork to get through the FEMA process takes a lot of time. But during that event, you know, the sheriff and his deputies were amazing. The public works staff was incredible. Literally, we had to tell them to go home and get rest. They worked all through the first night, and we're getting into the second evening, and it was time for them to go home. It's going to be a long event. Again, the sheriff's deputy, the search and rescue teams were out constantly. But the most work that got done really was by the citizens. They were out there clearing roads and doing that work. But out of that, we learned that we needed to have contracts in place for vendors. So we have great equipment for removing snow, but we don't have equipment for removing trees. So our public works directors worked with businesses, contractors that do that kind of work, and has preloaded contracts. So if we were to have an event, say today or tomorrow, we would be better prepared to deal with that. Now, on the emergency management side, Wayne Stinson's 40-something years doing this work. He's a fantastic emergency manager. During the entire event, not once did any of the commissioners feel like he didn't have things under control and that we weren't responsibly responding. But after-action reports always show that there's, you know, more things you can learn and more things you can do. And, of course, we participated in all those. But I tell a little story about Commissioner Boyce. He had had a Jeep when he got elected, sold his Jeep, but right before the storm, he had bought another Jeep. And of course, since he has the tire store, he had big wheels and tires on it almost immediately. And during that storm, he went out with his Jeep and helped get a radio tower going and different things. And really all the commissioners were a part of that, and he should be commended for that.
So this year as well, a lot of times has been given to the ONC issue.
So you've had me on several times talking about all the different litigation. Really right now on the two ONC cases, we're in the, you know, we won those cases. It was fantastic. It will make a huge difference in the future of the county. We're in the remedy phase right now. So there's really the industry folks had a similar lawsuit to ours. So the two lawsuits were joined together. And on the defense side are the people that are the defendants in the case. That's the Department of Interior and the Department of Justice are working on that. And right now, all four parties are kind of working together on a remedy. We're fairly confident that that remedy will create the revenue necessary to run the county into the future. Now, it's going to take a few years to get there, to ramp some reasonable amount of harvesting and logging on the ONC to create that revenue. But once that's done, it should dramatically change the trajectory of the county and put us in a place where we'll be able to continue the level of services we have today and be able to quit having to cut. You know, every year we're having to cut services. And once that the remedies is agreed upon and those remedy elements are put in place, we should start seeing quite a bit more revenue.
Washington, D.C., of course, the political landscape is always changing. And so while you've been positive the last couple of years about some of the direction and some of the shift that's occurred, you never know what the next election cycle will bring, which leads to kind of having an unpredictable look at this area.
Well, certainly that's been the past. One of the reasons that we worked with the current administration about not repealing the resource management plan but letting us litigate it is we wanted a court ruling that defined this remedy and this solution. So instead of just having administration, so if you go back to the Clinton era, they had a resource management plan, the Northwest Forest Plan, that was implemented, but it never really was fully implemented. And then during the Bush years, there was the Western Plan revision drafted and agreed upon, signed into record. In the early years, or early months of the Obama administration, it was repealed and then replaced with this 2016 RMP. So the planning process does create what you describe, sort of the political pendulum swinging back and forth. So we decided to stop doing that and go ahead and file a lawsuit and get a court decision that directs the action. So it will be, that remedy will be bound by court, not just the political whim of different administrations.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. A look at the state of the county with County Commissioner Tim Freeman. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson Show coming at 1. Tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, a look at the state of the city. Roseburg Mayor Larry Rich, you'll hear the majority of the remarks he made at last night's Roseburg City Council meeting. And again on Thursday's program, VA Secretary Robert Wilkie, a member of the President's Cabinet, will be on Inside Douglas County. County Commissioner Tim Freeman taking a look at the state of the county. What do we turn to next?
Well, one of the important things that Commissioner Kress worked on this year was our justice court. So again, we have a justice court that covers the Drain and Reedsport area, and we have a justice court that's in the southern part of the county, Canyonville and Glendale. And some of the work that Commissioner Kress did there was securing a location long term for that court down in the south portion of the county. It took him a long time to get through that. I had started working on that years ago and was not able to accomplish it, but Commissioner Kress took it on when he came on board and was able to negotiate a purchase of a building down there. That court provides revenue that'll help fund services that the court needs, like the DA services and central services. So he did a fantastic job on that. Into the future, that'll continue to provide those. Commissioner Kress also is the liaison for the museum and the lighthouse. Both had great years. The museum was voted two out of the top 100 state tourist designations this year, and they had their 50-year anniversary, and over at the lighthouse, they had their 125-year anniversary. Another big issue we dealt with this last year was the fire on Milepost 97. Several people were on the radio show talking about that. That just helps us, have it on my list, help us remember that even though it's nasty and raining and snowing outside, that fire season's coming. And we are currently in a process of updating the county's wildfire protection plan. And we're having a series of meetings around the county. We've had one in Myrtle Creek. We have one up in Glide tonight, one over at Reedsport Thursday, and a few more scheduled in the northern part of the county to update that. So continue to do that work.
And one of the things as well was your involvement with this was things with the juvenile department.
Yeah, so our juvenile department, we've got a contract with the state to take care of up to 36 foster kids. And the Phoenix School had been doing some of the education work for us, and it really came to a point where the amount of funding to do that work wasn't adequate to successfully accomplish the education needs of these youth. So they brought that to our attention. We worked with the Department of Human Services, Department of Education, the governor's office, and at the end of the day, Roseburg School District and Jared Corden and Michael Lasher from the ESD came together and found a solution with some additional funding from the state, and have really made that model what will be hopefully the model that other communities around the state will look at.
Yeah, we had Michael Lasher in here the other day, and he was talking about that in similar language as well, that after this got put together, the idea was apparently, you know, the state folks liked what they saw, and though it is going to obviously cost money to do that other places, just like it's costing DHS to do it here, felt like that was a good model for other places.
Yeah, we had some pretty extensive conversation about whether there was enough funding in the current school funding system to take care of these kids. Now, we have the second largest program like this in the state, the largest county program like this. So, our needs are probably a lot more than what other counties will need. But the idea that school districts can take on this amount of kids with these special needs for their education and to do it out of current funding just wasn't sustainable. So again, I'm hoping into the future that'll provide. And remember, these kids aren't really trouble with the law. They're foster kids that have had difficult placements, and our facilities become their home and our staff become their parents. The education system here is where they need to learn the skills they're going to need to be successful in life.
Over the past few years, as the county has evolved, one of the things that has taken place is trying to make programs more self-supporting. I think that was probably first noticed by a lot of people with parks.
Yeah, so Commissioner Boyce is the liaison to parks, and he's done an amazing job finding those efficiencies and finding ways to make sure that the park system is self-supporting, and we have several years under our belt now of that happening. I know a lot of people are still not excited about the fact they have to pay to park at the parks, but the lion's share of the revenue that comes in from the parks really is from the camping, not from the parking. So the county has over 3,000 acres of parks properties and over 70 properties. They take care of that with lots of volunteers and really only 16 staff at the park system. We've won several awards, including this last year we won an award of excellence, a safety award for removing hazard trees. One of the things that's pretty exciting is with the work that Commissioner Boyce and the county's done over at Umpqua Dunes and the revenue that that's generating, it's looking like if we continue on the current with the current funding that's been coming in, we're going to be able to remove the parking fees in a couple of years. So we need a couple of years of that working well, but it's looking like that investment's really going to pay off.
You mentioned the museum and the lighthouse this year. Anything else about those two facilities you want to mention?
Well, we continue to rely on the Museum Foundation and volunteers and the staff there that just do amazing work. Over at the coast, Jamie, our museum director, he just recently, on his own time really, mostly remodeled some area over there. It's going to be fantastic for an addition to the gift shop. And one thing I want to make sure we have time for, I know we always run out of time, but over the last 5 years since Commissioner Boyce and I got there, we've had to make some pretty tough decisions. So one of the things I looked back after 5 years was on our financials. So I went back to fiscal year 14-15, which was the budget in place when Commissioner Boyce and I got there. Working with the other commissioners, we've done several budgets since then. But that budget, at the end of the year, the total amount of spending out of reserve funds from both the Public Works Fund and the General Fund, so the amount of what we would call deficit spending, was just over $11.5 million, completely unsustainable. We've, again, had to make some really tough choices, some of them not popular. So I thought I'd go ahead and look back at fiscal year 18-19 and see where we were at the end of that year. So if you add the General Fund and the Public Works balance changes together, this last year, last fiscal year, we actually put in to our reserves about $350,000. So that difficult work that we did is making a difference in our reserve account and our ability to provide services into the future. That being said, during that same four-year period, the inflation cost of government is always pushing on us. So each year there's more and more, it's more and more expensive to do the same thing. So we've had to make pretty dramatic cuts during that time. And just because we were able last year to do basically a break-even budget doesn't mean we're going to continue to be able to do that with declining revenues off the school funding and increased costs. But for right now, we just thought it was good to take a snapshot in time and look at all that work that we did over those years and how it's changed really the glide slope or the trajectory of the reserve fund and the county into the future.
And when you mentioned that first number, I was thinking back to that time frame when there was a real concern from all of you and a lot of observers as to, the county government quite literally hitting a brick wall and, having to, go into uncharted territory.
Yeah, so there was then, and there continues to be, a real concern about Douglas County entering to what we call insolvency. That's where we don't have the revenue necessary to do the statutory required services. Now, again, we've eliminated services, so we are looking for those services that we are statutorily required to perform. Things like 24-hour sheriff's patrol, 911 dispatch center, the DA, having a jail, but also having making sure that we have, fair and open and honest elections and tax assessment and keeping track of spending through all of our departments, including a huge amount of spending through our public works department. And all those things are important, veterans, seniors, everything. So we're trying to make sure that as we make good decisions on how much money we spend each year, that we look into the future and know that we could easily keep doing everything and spend all the money and not have anything, or we have to spend a little bit less, spend within our means, and control the growth of government moving forward. And we've been able to do that, and we continue to do that work. And those folks that come to our budget committee meetings, our budget committee members, and the citizens that participate in that process understand how difficult that work is.
A look at the state of the county. Douglas County Commissioner Tim Freeman, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.